has not been easy for me. And, you know, I started off in Brooklyn. My father gave me a small loan of $1 million. I think.
Gardner here with Rudy Wright, as always. There was another Republican debate this past week. Ben Carson explains how forced vaccines will work. You will actually be able to go to a movie without having to worry about the police. And on the phone, we'll be talking Smith County corruption with Chris Blythstone. How are you doing, Chris?
Pretty good, guys. How are y'all?
Oh, great. We appreciate you coming on. Now, I believe Smith County has very much earned its reputation for being called the corruption county of the area. And this isn't a new thing. This stuff that's been going on for years. A lot of people in the area thought that most of that would leave when J.B. Smith left, but J.B. Smith wasn't the only problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's hard when you grow up and spend your life in a county. When you first see posts, you know, calling yours out as a very corrupt county, you don't want to believe it. But, you know, the more you dive into the story, the deeper the rabbit hole goes. So, yeah, Chris, I thank you a lot for coming and speaking with us today. And you know, yeah, one of the key topics that we wanted to get out there and raise awareness on is the plight of a local retired Major General, John Furlow. Most of the activists I bounce into, especially, you know, almost every veteran I run into, know the man and respect the man.
Right. I've only met him once, but a lot of people talk about him. He's very well respected. And when the news came down that he was arrested for stealing signs, that just didn't sound right to me when I heard it to begin with.
Oh yeah, and that accusation is worse than we know. When you really start digging into it, it's a lot worse than we know. This corruption goes extremely deep, and to the point that accusation has gone from being slanderous to being criminal. And what the D.A. Bingham specifically, and what the Judge Baker and Judge Skeen have gotten at things, and they've literally committed crimes in this accusation.
Now, people that have listened to our show a lot will know Joel Baker's name because we've been at it with him over the camera scam that he was trying to pull, and that was in the news for a while, and we brought that up on our show a lot, but yeah, he's no foreigner to the show.
Well, which camera scam? The one where he signs a $5 million contract without his commissioners, or the one where he's filming his 18-year-old neighbor?
The second one.
we can go with either one, because both of them are criminal. Both
right.
of them have been swept under the rug, and both of them are nasty.
Right, very true.
Well, yeah, and to make matters worse on just simply, you know, calling out a man's character by accusing him of stealing your signs, but you know, from what I gather, the report is fairly clear on about a 50 or 57, I don't remember the exact number of signs, but they've somehow inflated the value per sign to get the grand total over $1,500. That way they could consider it a felony. It's felony theft, greater than $1,500.
And they lied to the grand jury about that. That's where the criminal aspect comes in. A DA has immunity from prosecution for the most part. But when a DA goes in front of a grand jury and lies to the grand jury, and he lied about the dollar amount, and we have the evidence to prove that he lied about the dollar amount, he had the original invoice. The original invoice for every single sign Judge Baker had in that election, we've got it. And that value for every single sign he had was $300-something.
So if he stole
every sign that Judge Baker had, it's still a value of $300. The original invoice We have a copy of it. The defense has a copy of it. The DA had a copy of it. We know he had a copy of it. Yet he still went to the grand jury and told them $1,600, actually. And again, that's criminal. That's not just corrupt. That's criminal.
And I mean, are these acts, and certainly not that, you know, we doubt your word, but I mean, how do we know this information that the DA has seen the receipt of the original value?
Well, now, of course, I've been running for office. I ran the last election, and I had to buy signs, and they're, I don't know, about $3 or $4 a piece.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
Right. It would be impossible to have, or not impossible, but improbable to have that much out there, and certainly to have stolen them. But the thought there is, though, I mean, they went through so much lying to get there, and how deep does that rabbit hole go where you have, you know, a judge in cahoots with the DA and cahoots with the police and cahoots, I mean, oh my gosh, I mean, the implications here.
Well, let's back up for just a second and set the stage. First off, we've got Judge Baker complaining about his signs being stolen, but forget about Judge Baker for a second. Let's go to the district court and talk about Skeen, and let's talk about Bingham, and let's talk about his AEA. So Skeen got his seat, his bench, 12 years ago, and he got it by handout. Governor Perry appointed him. He wasn't elected to that bench initially. He got appointed because his predecessor resigned after the two-year mark. Now, so you're elected for a four-year bench. If you're 2 years into it, prior to that 2 years, if you resign from your bench, a special election is held. After that two-year mark, it's a governor appointment. So getting a district court bench is typically fairly hard initially. You've got to go through the election process. Well, unless your predecessor handpicks you. And that's what happened with Skeen. Now, Skeen, in private quarters, has said he's going to retire, and he's going to wait until after his two-year mark so he can hand the bench to Bingham.
Which is why so, Bingham is saying he's going to retire after this time.
Yeah, exactly.
From DA.
Well, right. All he wants is a bench.
Right.
And the ADA would then automatically almost go right over to being the DA to take Bingham's spot. So we got two elected positions just switching hands, essentially by governor appointment, that are handpicked successors, and they're bypassing the election process. Well, there's some questions about Bingham's eligibility for, first off, is a DA position, much less the district judge, because there's rumors that he doesn't live in the county, which would disqualify him. Yet, without the elections commission, because it won't be an election, there's nobody to question it. So it'll just be governor appointment. That's it. And Furlow started calling this out, pointing it out, and then the attacks came at it. Wanted to know why he's doing it. This isn't just a punishment because you had the gall to run against me in an election, so therefore I'm going to punish you. He's not a threat until he starts talking about the corruption that's going on. You guys are trying to bypass elections. You're putting people that aren't eligible for the position in position. That's dangerous. And I got to shut him up. When I can't stop the message, the best way to discredit it is to go after the messenger. The danger to that message is scary. I can't stop that, but I can stop the messenger by discrediting him. That's where it comes down. So that's why the attack on General Furlow. That's your setting. And obviously the issues with Baker with the camera, with his neighbor's girlfriend, neighbor's daughter, the $5 million contract that he signed, illegal contract that he signed that he has the Attorney General's office looking into him for, he blames Furlow for that Attorney General investigation.
Let's explain to people what that's talking about. This is two separate things. The first one being where Joel Baker was caught, and there's a police report that I've seen on this, where his spying has a camera turned on his next-door neighbor, who's an 18-year-old girl, which that was a big thing that they let him go because he was a judge. But the second one was where he was trying to have speeding cameras installed in Smith County, and he signed the camera before they ever discussed it within the county commissioner's court, and this was told to me by one of the county commissioners.
Yeah, so he violated the law by signing a contract without the commissioners. First off, a judge is not supposed to sign contracts on anything that haven't been approved by the commissioners. And he signed a $5 million contract without even talking to the commissioners, much less getting a vote.
Right, and that's beside the point that this contract was for something that was illegal to begin with.
It wasn't illegal when he signed it. It already passed the House and had gone to the Senate. It had not passed the Senate, and the governor had not signed it.
So it's kind of like open carry right now. You know it's going to be illegal here in a minute, or in this case, it's going to be legal.
Exactly. He got it mainly because of the grandfather rule.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have legislation that's backdated. So once he had that contract signed in hand, there was no way they could come back on it.
That must be why they did it. They saw it coming, and they thought they'd get one last little look.
And the AG's office is looking at him to find out were there kickbacks. Was there kickbacks coming to it?
Yeah, there have been a lot of people arrested with those red light camera companies and the speeding camera companies for that exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I think it's especially done in the dark of night without commissioner's approval and everything else.
And almost all of them are from Arizona.
For sure.
Yeah. So with all this evidence, the receipt you mentioned and all that, and the DA knows this and the judge knows this, I understand they've been trying to get the general to agree to sign an apology, or they want to do a little public publicity stunt and then drop the charges.
Yeah, exactly. Well, first off, they tried half a dozen little hitches. His trial was set for the 27th, and then it got delayed again. This is like the fourth time it's been delayed. But the last time it was delayed the time before last it was delayed. It was still in Judge Skeen's court. It was Judge Skeen was the sitting judge. And they had been trying to force and scare and intimidate General Furlow into signing a letter of apology, a public letter of apology.
Yeah, there's one part of his name that makes me believe that trying to intimidate him probably isn't going to work. That's probably not going to work with anybody whose first name is General.
Yeah, exactly. And have a Ranger tap. That's gonna stop a lot of people too.
Right.
This guy's not the kind of guy that's going to back down. It's just absolutely not. So you're trying to intimidate him, and just sign this letter of apology, and we'll let this go. And Furlow says, "No, I'm not apologizing for anything. I didn't do anything wrong. Give me a jury." Well, they had this little trick in their corner. They had filed a separate charge against him for lying to a police officer. It's a misdemeanor. I think it's a Class B misdemeanor.
And the lie purportedly is that he didn't take the signs.
Yeah, exactly. For telling the cops that he didn't take the signs. That's the claim.
Yeah.
They did not tell his... Now, obviously, they're in negotiations constantly trying to get some sort of plea deal out of this. So they talked to his attorney on a regular basis, but they didn't tell him about this outstanding charge. And there was a warrant for that charge. Well, General Furlow is going to law school every night, and he's driving back and forth to Dallas, and he gets picked up in Kaufman County for a traffic violation. I think his license plate lamp was out. And he gets pulled over, run a background, you've got an outstanding warrant out of Smith County, I'm sorry, I got to arrest you. So, and Kaufman County handled themselves as professionally as they could. They had a pending warrant. They pulled him in. The bond conditions were clearly stated on the warrant. Clearly stated. At $1,000 bail on. But Kaufman County got a call from Tyler PD as soon as they cleared the warrant. Hey, you hold this guy. Do not give him bail. Do not give him bond. Hold him for extradition. We're coming to get him.
And Tyler Police Department is yet another separate entity that's in cahoots in the whole thing.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Tyler PD's Major Crimes Unit is all over this. And We'll get back to that in just a second. But Tyler Petty's chief of police, by the way, calls Hoffman County and says, deny him bail. Despite the bail conditions were clearly stated on the warrant, deny him bail. We're coming to get him. And Smith County Sheriff calls up Kaufman County and says, you better give him bail, or I'm telling you, this guy's going to hang you for dry. Give him bail. And this fight was going on at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And finally, General Furlow gets released at 11 o'clock in the morning. It made him spend the night in jail. They finally did grant his bail, but his bail was posted at midnight, and they didn't release him until almost 12 hours later.
So Sheriff Larry Smith was actually on the right side of this.
Yes, he was. And has been, when it comes to this Furlow case, he has been on the right side the entire time.
And just to be clear, as much as I don't like Larry Smith, he was on the right side of the camera thing, too.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Well, it's certainly important to give folks accolades when they're there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a big Larry Smith fan, but when it comes to what he's done for Furlow, it has been exemplary.
Well, what's scariest, and not to divert for just a second, but all of these players, all of these key players, you know, Skeen, Bingham, Baker, I mean, all these big names, I mean, people love these guys. Yes. I mean, that's what scares the crap out of me when you look. I mean, no wonder they want to call it a conspiracy kook theory or whatever. They can't, it's cognitive dissonance. They can't accept that these people that they know and love, and yet every time we turn around, it's the most, you know, outwardly Christian person who ends up being a mass murderer eater, or, you know.
Right. I mean, it's not like there's been a big movie made about Tyler corruption or anything.
Well, there's a movie and a couple of books I know of.
That's Rush, by the way, is the movie, and Smith County Justice, for those of you that don't know.
So
that's your stage. Now, they have this outstanding warrant. I didn't tell either General Furlow's attorney or General Furlow that they had this outstanding warrant. They pick him up for it. This is 3 days before his trial.
So it sure sounds like the trap sprung early, that basically they were trying to pull that card out and pick him up for something silly.
What they wanted to do was, right in front of the jury, arrest him for an outstanding warrant and create a bias from the jury right off the bat.
They want
to manipulate the jury pool.
Wow, do it right in front of the jury.
Yes.
They're that bold.
Influence them. And at least this is our working theory.
Right.
Because otherwise, there's no explanation for it. And then within 24 hours, Judge Skeen recuses himself and says, I can't sit this case.
So if he had that card to influence the jury, then the judge
was willing to sit the case when he felt like he could manipulate the jury. As soon as card was taken away, he bows out.
I wonder if they would have taken him away before he had an opportunity to testify on his own behalf at all.
There's another wrench in it, because Judge Baker wants to testify, but he doesn't want to be cross-examined.
He wants his cake, but eat it too.
You're denying General Furlow the ability to face his accuser. And now, in Skeen's defense, he did not let that go through. He didn't want to set up a precedent.
So this is the same Skeen that's about to retire just after the point when somebody would get elected and hand his bench to Bingham, no doubt for some form of favor or fashion. I mean, most men do things for personal gain reasons.
He's got a motivation behind it, I promise you. And besides that, that's the way he got his bench in the first place.
But then he got reelected after already having the seat, I guess.
Yeah, because it's a lot easier to get reelected than it is to get that initial election. That's the deal.
Right, especially around here. It's almost impossible to get people out of the local positions.
Yeah, everybody hates government, but they always reelect their own local person. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, it's somebody else's politician that's bad, not the one in our right in our own backyard.
Right.
So, wow. I mean, this Furlow case is just mind-boggling. They kept him locked up. He finally got out. So we're still, I guess, waiting on a day in court?
Yes. And every day, every time it comes around, they keep trying to go, especially cram it the day of, sign this letter, sign this letter, sign this letter. But this last day, he goes in front of the new judge. They brought in a judge from, you're going to love this, from Waco.
Really?
So they bring in a judge from Waco. Now, supposedly, the way when a judge recuses himself, particularly with a district judge, there's a pool of judges, and they randomly get selected. If one district judge can't see a case, a traveling district judge has to come in and swap, essentially. But conveniently, we go from corruption capital of East Texas to corruption capital of Texas as a whole, and we get a district court judge from there.
Well, that was eye-opening whenever I looked into Waco's political makeup, and they have basically an even larger scale version of the same story we have here in Smith County.
Well, most of Waco's corruption is also...
I would call Waco, McKellen County in particular, even worse than Smith County.
Well, a lot of the corruption in Waco is the actual federal government. There's a lot of federal government agencies there, and it's all tied in together.
Yeah, well, I think that is the corrupting factor, but we've still got district judges, JPs, sheriff, the chief of police, every single one of them are, at the very minimum, complicit in that corruption.
Right.
I would say they're knee-deep, neck-deep in it.
Well, for confirming this details, I mean, jury duty, that's spelled kind of weird, that J-O-O-R-I-E, and it's D-O-O-T-Y?
Yes.
That one website, I know I found a lot of interesting information. Is that the best source you found at trying to, confirm it?
To confirm all of our suspicions, yes. Now, one of the other reasons behind that blog that you're referring to is a guy named Jury Duty. That just Google search Smith County corruption, and I think it's one of the first things that comes up. That blog is a pretty in-depth insider knowledge on a lot of it, knows what's going on inside of Smith County, has done his research. He will not just make allegations. Everything he does is factual.
Well, yeah, he's actually got the
back it up.
Yeah, he's got the police report scanned in, and
yeah,
I mean,
exactly. He is about as thorough as they get. Now,
and nobody
Judge
really...
Baker assumes that Furlow is behind that block. Now he's not. The deal is they just don't know who is behind it, and that blog scares them, and they think Furlow is behind it, and if not Furlow, Furlow's son-in-law. So they've come at them hardcore, trying to shut that blog up. Well, Furlow and his son-in-law don't know who writes that and don't care. All they want, they don't want to know who it is. All I want them to do is keep writing, because what you're doing is awesome. But another reason that they're coming at Furlow is because they want to shut that blog up. Well, Furlow doesn't know who it is. Doesn't want to know who it is. We suspect that whoever it is probably works for the county at some level, because they know too much.
And might be running for sheriff.
Well, yeah, that would be nice. Absolutely.
Interesting theory.
Whoever writes that blog is doing a bang-up job, and they need to be applauded.
Yeah.
Because he's doing his research. He's doing his due diligence.
But somehow...
I tried to make a comment on there, and my comment was an allegation, and I didn't have the facts to back it up, and he shut me up pretty quick. We're not going to have that on my site. I think you're probably right, but we can't prove it, so it's not going up here yet. That's the kind of guy he is. So we've got not only a man that's doing his due diligence and doing his research, a true investigative journalist in my mind, we got a man of integrity, not just a showboat. And that's the kind of guy we need on our team.
Absolutely. I need more like that. Now, going back to the origin of this whole story, they're saying that Furlow stole the signs. That just sounds a little absurd to me. What evidence do they have? I mean, do you believe Furlow stole the signs at all? Or
they
be worth a dollar?
They don't have any evidence that Furlow stole the signs. What they have is a gentleman that they actually arrested for stealing the signs, that admitted to stealing the signs, that was never charged, nothing ever happened to him, but that gentleman pointed the finger back at Furlow and said Furlow told him to do it.
Well, and to make the matters more absurd, as I understand it, the accused theft occurred the day before the final vote.
The day of.
So
the day of the primary.
In essence, somebody just did them a favor and were picking up their signs that always end up getting left too long after the election. But, I mean, there's absolutely no logic as to why any candidate, even if they were that kind of candidate, would take signs the day of the vote.
The primary, yeah. The day of the primary. The early voting has already happened. We're talking the day of the primary. And not only that, the signs weren't recovered. They were found in the dumpster of the restaurant several months after the election's already done.
That's very
fishy. The person that found them, the restaurant owner, called the judge directly. Hey, I found your signs. What do you want me to do with them? The next thing you know, major crimes unit, seven detectives show up to investigate this. Seven detectives. Now, Tyler PD has an outstanding policy that it will not investigate petty theft. We've got 13 known gangs operating inside of Smith County.
And that's not counting the police.
What's that?
And that's not counting the police.
Yeah. we're going to take the major crimes detectives. We're not talking some beat cop. The major crimes detectives, we're going to stick them on $300 worth of missing signs at maximum. That's insanity to me. You talk about a waste of government resources. This is not the judge outside of his authority. By the way, the judge can't tell Tyler PD to do anything.
Which means
he doesn't have the authority.
Which means he must have some serious pull or some kind of dirt on the higher ups in the Tyler PD.
Very positive, or they're just in cahoots.
Yeah.
But Tyler PD, since their major crime unit, seven detectives looking after essentially a kid getting his bike stolen. That's the kind of dollar value we're talking about. Seven major
detectives. Not even a nice bike.
Yeah. There you go. I mean.
Wow.
Tell me that there's not some corruption in that. It's just insanity.
Well, how do we get people to wake up more? I mean, I'm sure you've run into this, but you know, you start trying to talk about this to some people, and as soon as you mention one of those names that just so happens to be one
they're gonna go blank face and stare at you. I'm not getting involved.
They're like, oh, Joel Becker. Oh, yeah, I voted for him.
Yeah. How do we get people involved?
How do we get them to care?
I think the only way you're going to do that is if every cell phone tower in Tyler goes down at once. Turn off people's cell phones. Maybe they get involved. Seriously, I don't know. I don't know how this level of apathy, especially from we here in East Texas, we're as right wing as right wing gets. We are as liberty minded gets. There's nobody else in the country right now that's more liberal or liberty minded than we are. Yet we have the most apathetic group. I don't get it. We are so uninvolved. We are so uneducated.
Well,
literally. I mean, I went to the First Baptist Church up in my little town, and I started asking just kind of an exit poll of these churchgoers leaving Sunday morning. Do you know the name Joe Strauss? Does it mean anything to you? And I didn't get, I probably asked 80, 90 people, did they know the name Joe Strauss? I didn't get a single, yes, I know who he is, and he's an evil guy. Not a single one of them knew his name.
But they would have all known who John Boehner is.
Yeah, absolutely. But we got a John Boehner, in my opinion, probably worse than John Boehner, right in Austin, that's killing liberty-minded bills daily. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's not that many liberty-minded bills getting to them.
Yeah, I mean, to defend that concept you espouse as far as this being the most liberty-minded area, I mean, most folks are right there with you until you start talking about, you know, marijuana or gay marriage or, you know, and what are their sacred cows?
Yeah, look, conservative does not mean small government. It's just different from liberal in the sense that they want different things, the government to control different things.
Yeah. And I think it's really important, I think, for us to try and, you know, network with those folks and be polite and, you know, build bridges best we can. But we got to find ways to politely point out, hey, you know, really love you guys, and but true liberty, we've got to accept that people own their own body, and you know, once
Absolutely.
A month.
But at the same time, we have to recognize we have a mutual enemy. The left is united. Be it far left, medium left, moderate left, whatever, they're united. And they are united against us. And they are completely destructive of anything that is liberty-minded. I don't agree with the conservatives on quite a few issues. I'm a libertarian. But there's a couple of issues that I don't necessarily agree libertarian. But we've got to find a way
Name two.
To unite on these core principles, these things we agree on, and fight for those things.
The challenge is, though, is some of the guys that we are forced to support in that regard are going to grow government to as a compromise for, you know, what little bit they do that's in favor, and so government still grows, whether it's the left or the right.
Yeah, exactly. And either way,
we have to vote statist versus statist in almost every election. The only, I mean, David Simpson is not a statist. He's the only person in this area that you can vote for as a Republican or Democrat that's not a statist. Yeah. That's it.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's scary. I mean, what's your thoughts? I mean, when you mentioned there was a couple of things that you don't agree with libertarians on, I'd love to hear that just to...
As a former warrior, as a veteran, okay. I've seen conflict, I've been over there, I know point blank we have enemies in the world. I don't agree with libertarian national security issues.
So you think we need to be over there poking that bear with a stick, huh?
No, I think we need to annihilate that bear.
Oh, turn it into glass. You're one of those guys.
Does that include our allies in Saudi Arabia?
Defining the bear. Don't get me wrong. We need to be very specific about defining the bear. Know who our enemy is, very specifically. And when we know who that enemy is, we need to wipe them from the face of the planet, period. Now, I'll be loose with that term enemy. I don't think China is an enemy. I don't think Russia is an enemy. They are a competitor in the world market. And we just need to have better liberty principles, and we will beat them in the market. There's no reason to go out and start World War III. That's not what I'm saying. But we do very clearly have enemies in this world that want to destroy us, destroy our way of life. And I don't want to give them the opportunity.
Unfortunately, they're our own government.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, the biggest threat to our liberty isn't some foreign entity. It's right here in Washington, D.C. It's right in Austin, for that matter.
But
we've got enemies right in our backyard. Now, I don't want to be blinded by that 3,000-meter target. So often we, especially those of us right-wing, crazy, radical militia types, we get blinded by that 3,000-meter target. Be it ISIS, be it Washington, D.C., be it the immigration issue, whatever, we're blinded by a target that really, quite frankly, isn't affecting us right here in Northeast Texas.
And they use that to bait you into bigger government.
Like Joel Baker, like Judge Steen, like D.A. Bingham, like Sheriff Brown up in Wood County. We need to address those enemies. We're blind to the 25-meter target. We don't even know their name. We got a guy that's trying to destroy our liberty right in our backyard, and we don't even know their name.
Right.
But we know everything about ISIS. That's disgusting to me. That we need to rectify.
But our foreign policy is what creates ISIS. That's what I don't get. And I mean, I got a world respect for your service. Thank you very much. And, you know, we can certainly agree to disagree. But when I really look at it, though, it's that fear that they've built into those of you with that, you know, very strong militant mindset to allow this huge government motor that we have to feed to be sprawled out all over. And then the same guys will admit that government is the most likely. There's a lot more danger in Washington, D.C. than, you know, anywhere else.
And the government controls the media, who tells you to fear ISIS.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I wasn't using ISIS as an example of that's who we need to go wipe off the face of the planet. I think we don't need to handle that at all. We need to let Turkey and we need to let Israel off their chain and let them handle their own. Maybe have their back if they need it, but for the most part, they won't need it. Israel can handle it. Let them.
Well, the founders do agree with the libertarian perspective that, you know, we should have entangling alliances with no nations, and freedom and commerce, you know, should be reached out. But, man, we really can't thank you enough for the time you invested here today, clearing this matter up and exposing this this extreme potential. I don't even know how to describe it. What do you call this conspiracy?
Smith County corruption.
Yeah.
As usual.
Wow.
But
hey, well, the last event, and I'll let you go. The last event was the last time was last Monday, I believe, the 27th. The judge asked him, it was the set trial date, and before the judge let it go, the judge offers him what's called a judicial favor. And the judge offers this letter, sign this letter, but I'm going to seal this that it never happened. I'm going to seal this to the court if you just sign it. And again, Furlow refused.
So this is Judge Keene you're talking about?
No, the guy from Waco.
The one from Waco.
Name,
oh, yeah.
Now, General Furlow can't talk about that. I was in the court, so I heard it. But this little private thing, and he sealed it to the court. Said, you can't talk about this, but here's our last thing, our last offer. They're scared of him going in front of a jury, and they want this to go away. But they're not going to just admit defeat either. So I hope, what I'm actually hoping for is that they don't just drop it. I want it to go to trial.
Yeah, we need a big Liberty turnout at that trial, so please keep us posted, and we'll try and spread the word.
Absolutely. Right now it's the weekend after Thanksgiving, that Monday after Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Is the trial. So they put it off all the way to there. Again, I seriously don't think it'll actually happen on that day.
We need to be ready just in case.
So another right to speedy trial that he has been denied.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for getting all that info out to us, man. We'll definitely look forward to doing another show with you soon.
Thank you. It's Chris Blackstone.
There's been a lot of talk lately about going green, and the terminology can be confusing. But here's a few key terms. At Rightway, we specialize in the whole house system approach to building. What that means is each component in the home is designed to provide the best possible cost versus performance combination. Bring us any competitor's quote and let us prove to you that an efficient home doesn't have to cost more. Our starter homes at $75 a foot use almost half the energy of our competitors' co-built homes. Buy it, sell it, build it, tear it down, or remodel it. Let Rightway show you the right way, and possibly lose those monthly utility bills along the way. That's right-way.com, righthway.com. We set the standard for smart building in East Texas, and after over 30 years, we still do it all the right way. Log on to our website and learn how we built the most energy-efficient home in the country. No one meets the Emerald Standard like Rightway. Look for us on Facebook or at right-way.com. Or call 903-561-5191 24/7.
Hi, I'm Ben Carson, brain surgeon. I'm also running for president of the United States of America. Every week, one lucky winner gets to have lunch with me, Ben Carson, brain surgeon. I'm eating lunch with last week's winner right now.
Well, hi, I'm Mark.
So how are you coming along on that chicken fried steak there, boss?
Well, it's very good, Dr. Carson. I'm almost finished.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. I couldn't help but notice that you haven't touched your vegetables. Are you saving them for last, or what's the deal?
Well, no, not really.
Well, you know, your vegetables are good for you. And I'm not just some guy saying this. I'm a doctor. A brain surgeon, if I haven't mentioned it already.
I just really don't like vegetables.
Well, I'm going to have to insist that you eat your vegetables. It's for your own good.
Well, no, I really don't want to. I don't really like them.
No, really, I insist. Now, officer, come here.
Yes, sir. What can we do for you?
Some help with this.
What? Okay, what can we do? Okay, we're on it. Sir, we're going to have to insist that you eat your vegetables. We're here with the government, and we're here to help.
And remember, please get your children vaccinated. It's for their own good.
What? This is what happens when you call the cops. Say what? This is what happens when you call the cops. Come on. This is what happens when you call the cops. You get your rights violated or you all get shot. This is what happens when you call the cops. This is what happens when you call the cops. cops. This is what happens when you call the cops. You get your rights violated or you all get shot.
What in the world is going on in South Carolina? I mean, there's the two big cop stories both came out of South Carolina. And not only that, Lindsey Graham came out of South Carolina.
Enough said.
I mean, that's bad enough, but there's the lesser known of the two cases, there was a 19-year-old who was trying to buy marijuana, and the police set up a sting. The guy sees the cop walking up to his car and starts driving off. The cop keeps walking towards his car as he's driving off. The guy's not trying to run into him. They're just trying to get away, and the cop just unloads his gun into him. And they ruled the other day that they weren't going to charge the cop. I mean, it's clear-cut murder. Mm-hmm. And they decided they're not charging him. And they're saying the United States Department of Justice might also be investigating it. But the thing is, the whole fake war on cops is to get the United States government, or worse, maybe even the UN, into being in charge of the police departments. And you think the accountability is bad now. Wait till Hillary Clinton's running the police department.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's sad that that intro song is a fitting warning. I mean, I hate to feel like I need to advise my kids to, you know, you better make sure it's worth somebody dying over.
Right.
And it might be the wrong people. I mean, well, where was the story out of? Was it South Carolina where the dog got shot?
I'm not sure where that one is. I have that one, but I mean, I don't have the information on that, but I did see that one too, and that was just absolutely ridiculous. The shooting that I just talked about of the 19-year-old happened on July 26th, but the video just came out this past week, and also they announced that they weren't charging him this week. But the big police story in the news this week, maybe even the biggest news story of the week, is also a police accountability story from South Carolina.
I blame the parents.
Right. Yeah, if the parents, you know, if you don't do a better job of raising your kids, they'll be assaulting teenage girls.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're talking about the recently orphaned young black lady,
right,
who was either chewing gum or might have been on her phone.
I think she was on her phone was how it originally started, and she was evidently belligerent with the teacher. The teacher called the school resource officer, Ben Fields. I don't know if you've seen this other video of Ben Fields. There's a video of him bench pressing 600 pounds.
Bench pressing
600 pounds. I don't know if you realize just how much that is. Remember Larry Allen used to play for the Dallas Cowboys? He was the strongest man in the NFL, and the most weight that he ever benched as the strongest man in the NFL was 600 pounds.
Wow.
So this guy would likely be stronger than any football player in the NFL, the guy that did this. Everybody's seen the video, he flips the desk over and drags the girl across the room, slams her around. She was in a cast the next day. I'd never heard if she had a broke arm or what, but she was in a cast.
Yeah, I mean, there are those that say that she flailed and that made her desk fall over, or that, you know, point out what else could have been done. I mean, I can see 100 different things that could have been done. Yeah. And I mean, I don't try and put myself in the police's shoes. I don't envy that job. I wouldn't probably take it unless it was just done for free out of the goodness of my heart, as a happen chance. But, you know, if they would have secured her hands and put her hands behind her back and cuffed her, he's obviously more than strong enough to maintain control of her hands. And then, you know, as much as I hate to say pain and compliance, but if he felt that he had to escort her out of the room, you know, you lift somebody up by the back of their hands, they're going to come up. Of course, you know, there's some laws against that too, but what do you think?
The sheriff was pretty reasonable about it. The sheriff's name is Lott, and he said that the maneuver used by Fields, who was the deputy, and when she flipped the student out of her desk and threw her across the classroom, was not one that was taught in law enforcement. He says that's what caused him to be upset when he first saw the video, and continues to be upset every time he sees the video. It was the fact that he picked the student up and threw him across the room. And he fired him. I mean, very shortly afterwards. So, yeah, I stand with this sheriff.
Yeah, I would too.
I back the blue on this one, the sheriff that fired the guy.
Right.
And in his speech that he made, he actually said something that made more sense than that. He said the police should have never been called on this. This is a student acting up in class. That this was not a police issue to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, a principal and a counselor would have been a more...
And if you have to have cops in your school, you probably shouldn't send your kids to that school. It's not safe.
Yeah, it's a crazy world we're living in these days. And it's just really heartbreaking how many people you know, blame the little girl and say, well, you know, she
had... Right, and I haven't heard anyone really defending the little girl other than she had a lot of things. Her parents died. She'd been going through a lot. She had mental issues. But I've never heard anybody saying that her behavior was okay. But the problem is there are people saying that this cop, who is a grown man, allegedly trained to do these things...
That his
behavior was okay.
Yeah, just because you oppose what the cop did doesn't mean that you endorse what the girl did.
Right. And I'm going to say one thing. If you support Ben Fields, the cop, and not Ray Rice, the football player, you're racist.
Interesting.
And then it got weirder. The story gets stranger from here because the following Friday, the students at Spring Valley High School, where this all happened, staged a walkout in support of Ben Fields, the officer. Matter of fact, some of them were wearing shirts that said Free Ben Fields. I'm thinking, did they buy these shirts with the anticipation that he was going to be locked up? Or do they not teach you in their school that the police don't go to jail when they commit crimes? What are they freeing him from?
Well, it was really mind-boggling. I can only suspect that those kids were really just looking for any excuse to cut class, and they thought this was one they could do and get away with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't have done it, but the irony of this whole thing is that they're disobeying authority to protest a goon getting in trouble for slamming a kid for disobeying authority.
Yeah.
So by their own rules, they should be slammed and dragged across the floor.
Right, right. They endorsed it. I mean, that's about like screwing for virginity or fighting for peace.
Right, that's it. Yeah, I mean, they're saying, please knock me out. Break my leg, something. And this is a guy that's on my friends list on Facebook. His name is Ray Lewis. He's not the one that murdered somebody at the Super Bowl a few years ago, allegedly. This is a former Philadelphia police detective, and you've seen him probably. He was at the rally a week or so ago in New York against police brutality. He was at the Ferguson protest, which turned into riots. You would know him if you saw him probably. And his assessment is, and I got this straight from his Facebook page, the three primary reasons for police abuse. The reasons the officer commits such barbaric behavior is one or more of the following reasons. One, he is totally burnt out and should have been taken off active duty at this first indication. I would say you could put this guy and also Case Bolt and McKinney in that.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he does not have the proper temperament for this job. I would say both of them qualify under that too. That happens a lot. There's a test. It's called the Minnesota Multifaceted Personality Inventory Test, MMPI. It's administered to weed out sensitive applicants, people that would do the right thing. And except he says a John Wayne type, I'm thinking more Hannibal Lecter. Not to say that all cops are psychopaths, but if you are a psychopath, it's a pretty good career choice.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know a handful of police officers that are, you know, good and decent folks. And it's just like political disputes. I mean, most of them firmly believe they're doing the absolute most noble thing they can do. And, you know, I was talking with one sheriff that about the open carry. And in his heart and mind, he just really didn't see any constitutional issue with demanding that he be able to stop me to ask for papers if he sees I'm armed.
I have told him, because, if you listen to our show all the time, you know, I don't have a license.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting a license. I carry a black powder pistol often openly all the time right now. And if you do that to me, you're going to end up on television. Because I didn't sign an agreement to give away my Fourth Amendment rights. The third reason is that he has on the list is he realized that he is never held accountable for his behavior. And that's the biggest one with the police. Mm-hmm. That they realize they're not going to be held accountable.
Well, and even if there is some accountability, typically it's they lost their job or had to resign and they could start a new job.
Right, but if you assault somebody and you're not a cop, your punishment is not getting fired from your job.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that might be part of it, but that's you actually go to jail if you're not part of their gang.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been a lot of recent police reports coming out where cops are getting no-billed on murdering people, I hate to say.
There was one out of Austin where a guy got no-billed because they said that he had immunity.
Yeah, the federal immunity one.
Right. That just happened this last week, too. And that's, I mean, how can you say that there's not two sets of laws when things like that happen?
Well, and the people have already lost a criminal action and are having to proceed with a civil action.
And here's how it always happens. They always sue. Usually the officer is found guilty by the jury when it actually goes in front of a jury, which is why the police, the grand jury, the judges, and the district attorney, who all play for the same team or are involved in the same gang, don't let it go to a jury for anything but civil matters, and the people that have nothing to do with it end up having to pay for it.
Yeah, it's tragic the way it all works out.
And speaking of the police, I mentioned at the beginning that you can actually go to a movie without having to worry about the police. But not just any movie. I also mentioned this earlier. Quentin Tarantino was involved in the anti-police brutality protests. And this is a little over a week ago. The head of New York's police department union has called for a boycott of Quentin Tarantino's film. And Philadelphia has done the same thing, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I support this. I think all cops should boycott Quentin Tarantino's movies. And I'll tell you why. Because on January 8th of next year, right before my birthday, Quentin Tarantino's new movie, The Hateful Eight, will be in theaters, starring Channing Tatum, Kurt Russell, and Samuel L. Jackson, and I will be there. And that would be awesome if the cops would boycott that movie. And so I like to go to Clicks, the bar in Tyler. If they would boycott that, that would be awesome. BJ's, just all these. I can give you a list of places where I like to go. If you would boycott all those, I would just give you a big thumbs up, and I would back the blue. Quentin Tarantino, of course, is most famous for making the greatest movie in the history of mankind.
What? What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
That would be Pulp Fiction. He also made Reservoir Dogs, which I thought was kind of overrated. Django Unchained I thought was pretty good. Go Guns.
Yeah, I haven't been as much of a Tarantino fan. My wife likes a lot of his shows.
I didn't really like the Kill Bills. I thought those were kind of corny. I mean, I guess if you're really drunk, they're pretty good. I guess my timing has been off, because I've been really drunk and I've watched the movies, but never at the same time. So I hear if you work the combination right, that you're pretty good on them.
Well, you know, to dial back in the challenge on the policing system, I mean, I think that obviously there has to be a mindset change. I mean, we're headed straight towards
Nazi Germany.
Yeah, I mean, a level of tyranny where you have thought crimes. You know, you get charged for the potential that you might do something, or you get put in the cage just so you don't consume too much or whatnot. And you know, people say it's crazy, but 1984 was laughed at, you know, when he wrote it, and so much of what he's written has actually came to pass.
I thought it was one of Van Halen's best albums. But yeah, that's. The people are siding with the government, and it's really conservatives more than liberals. Even though conservatives think that liberals support big government, and they don't, they support big government way more than liberals.
Well, and I think that's how they've done it, is basically instead of having authoritarians and libertarians, you've now carved it into thirds, where you have, you know, big government statists that want the government to take care of your cradle to grave and, you know, all this other medical stuff. And then you have the big government, no, we don't want all that, we just want to bomb everybody and turn the Middle East into a field of glass.
Right.
You know, I get a lot of fun, you know, debating, and like our guests, you know, Chris Blystone and I have had a lot of chats about politics, and yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, he's spot on so much, and there's so many folks that are in that same boat that they're really libertarians, except for their sacred cow, whatever that is. And that's what I think government has done, is they've carved up the sacred cows in a manner in which libertarians, true libertarians,
and the idea is to make the people believe that they oppose each other, even though they really don't.
Right.
They still want government to control other people's behavior and make them behave like them.
Yeah, whichever party wins, government still grows and liberty still shrinks.
Yeah, I mean, it's authoritarian versus liberty. I mean, you're almost praying for the whole thing to collapse at this point, because it's going the wrong direction. That's the only thing that's going to turn it around.
It's hard to imagine that we could vote it out. You know, the dollar is so devalued. I mean, it's hard to get up and go out and just, you know, work your butt off trying to chase these paper dollars, because all anybody's doing is hitting print somewhere. You know, we need to get back to a mindset of respecting real wealth creation, having sound money and, you know, the rule of law, not the rule of man. And so many people, you know, look at anarchy as an absence of all that.
When people say the rule of law, you hear politicians say that all. What they mean is, whatever the liars and thieves in Austin and Washington come up with, that's the rule of law.
Right. They brainwash people into forgetting that it's up to all, the real rule of law is nature's law, God's law.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know.
But people, if you ask them specifically, and that's what I did to Watts and Dean, they're both running for David Simpson's old spot, and they both said, yeah, you know, sport, natural law every time.
Yeah.
But they don't. They're both liars.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, almost everybody is, because if you accept that any group of us have the right to tax others, you know, to force them to contribute to our scheme, mm-hmm. whatever it is, whatever excuse, then you don't have a solid grasp of liberty, because, I mean, you can make the argument national defense, everybody in their, you know, benefits, but that's, I mean, you can't really in good conscience make that either, because if the fight, I don't know, there's just, it's hard to wrap your brain around it.
I know, and we've only got an hour or so, because we're libertarians, we don't cut off at exactly an hour. There was a debate this week, a Republican debate, and there is a clear winner that was a participant in the debate, and it was Ted Cruz. And because of one thing, and what he says here is really actually impressive, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. I like to hear the people doing the debate ask hard the gotcha questions that everybody complains, you know, we don't want a bunch of gotcha questions. I do. They should have me, you, Andrew Napolitano, and people like us asking the questions, because they would be gotcha questions. The difference between us and CNBC is our questions wouldn't be stupid. Huh. I think the one thing that we learned more about in the debate than anything else is that CNBC is still on the air, because most people didn't know that. But here is what won Cruz the debate.
Congressional Republicans, Democrats, and the White House are about to strike a compromise that would raise the debt limit, prevent a government shutdown, and calm financial markets that fear of another Washington-created crisis is on the way. Does your opposition to it show that you're not the kind of problem solver American voters want?
You know, let me say something at the outset. The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media. This is not a cage match. And you look at the questions. Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about?
Okay, here's what's impressive about what Ted Cruz just did. He just addressed every single question that had been asked before that in order.
Yeah, I didn't realize, but I've heard several people talking about now all of a sudden that he has an audiographic memory.
Right.
That he can't remember everything he sees or anything in that context, but anything he hears, he it's there.
Right, so I'm going to give Ted Cruz two thumbs up for that, because that was impressive.
That was a good call out. I'll definitely hand it to him, and I actually got to catch a few pieces of that particular debate.
And, of course, the thing that people don't like about politicians, or people don't trust politicians, is that they don't answer questions, which he did not answer that question. But anyway.
I digress.
And politicians certainly are not more trusted than the media. There really wasn't a lot to learn from the debate. There wasn't that much interesting stuff. But here was one that wasn't really ironic or funny during the debate, but it was afterwards. This is John Kasich, by the way. John Kasich is still running for president. He was the guy that imagines that he balanced the budget when Bill Clinton was president. So he's kind of delusional, but here's, you'll get it.
Governor Kasich, let's talk about marijuana. We're broadcasting from Colorado, which has seen $150 million in new revenue for the state since legalizing last year. Governor Hickenlooper was not a big fan of legalization, but he said the people who used to be smoking it are still smoking it. They're just now paying taxes. Given the budget pressures in Ohio and other states, is this a revenue stream you'd like to have?
First of all, we're running a $2 billion surplus, okay? We're not having a revenue problem right now. And sending mixed signals to kids about drugs is a disaster. Drugs is one of the greatest scourges in this country. I spent 5 years of my administration working with my team to do a whole sort of things to try to rein in the problem of overdoses. And it goes on and on. We can do a whole show on that.
There's so many things wrong with that. Number one, to say that our people have too much money already, we're not worried about this, probably wouldn't go over well if people thought about what you just said. The total overdoses on marijuana ever is zero. But here's what made this really funny. Kasich, in 1976, worked for the Reagan campaign.
Mm.
He worked for Roger Stone. Roger Stone, I believe, has done some work for Trump recently, but Roger Stone, is a, that makes him old, but not too old to have a Twitter account. So as soon as he said that, Roger Stone tweeted this, "Hypocrisy? I fired John Kasich from the 1976 Reagan campaign for selling pot to other field men."
Oh, that's classic.
And I'll just say one thing. He's lucky Reagan didn't catch him here. He probably had him killed. But that is hilarious.
And that's the real, the bottom line is so many people, you know, grow up and get brainwashed or tricked into statism and think it's for all the right reasons. That they're protecting your freedom because, you know, men with guns might extort you if we didn't extort you and hire right. men with guns.
And it's always the same, but did you catch the whole debate?
I didn't get the whole thing. I only watched it on free links when they popped up, and the free links are always a little jinxy.
Well, for you and everyone out there in Radio Land that didn't hear the debate, I'm going to play the entire debate, but it's been condensed into 3 minutes. And this is how we're going to end the show.
A lot to get to tonight, so let's get started.
You cut taxes $10 trillion in the economy. Would take off like, hold on a second, John.
You're $50 billion.
We're at 60 seconds. We're at 60 seconds.
We don't need the federal government. Karen, higher education is the example. Thank you. The more the big, the powerful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That 1,000 points of light. We've got to move on. People who do that, we can let them eliminate some of their debt.
I need to interject. Paul, are we really talking? So here, are we really talking about getting
the government
involved?
Karen, I want to go back, if I can, to the issue of... I got a deal in agreement with Governor Paul, and he tried to take credit for it four years later.
It's a joke.
Thank you, Governor.
Becky, if you'd like a 10%, growth is the answer.
Senator Reddick, if we cut taxes, we're going to try to move on. Let me just say, Mr. Trump, if I may just say,
I have a question for Governor Bush. John, can I follow up on this? We'll come back around. I want to get to Governor Kasich.
What are the rules on who gets to follow up? How do we decide who gets to follow up? I've seen plenty of other people follow up.
It was at the moderator discretion.
Okay.
So Governor Kasich.
Let's talk about marijuana.
I'd really like to mention something.
John, since he brought me up, do I not get to respond?
Respond.
Also, eliminates the business income tax.
What are we doing?
A 10% flat rate.
We're going to go to Governor Kasich.
The lowest personal rate.
Senator,
and let me say on this,
God bless Texas.
Vote harder.